is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
We're talking about, you know, the heart of Nehemiah here. And this is so important because it's a secret to really rebuilding the church in America. And somebody says, well, it doesn't need rebuilding. Really? Really? I mean, Chuck Pierce says the reason why the authorities in the world are stuck is because the authority in the churches, government, and the reason why, this is what he said, the reason why the governments of the world are stuck and there's just no leadership, he says, because that's what's happening in the church. But once the church, God's folks, the world will reflect that.
That's right.
And when you're seeing the condition of Israel being surrounded, you can say, well, ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. That's understand right. that nothing will happen alone. It will happen with the church and Israel simultaneously. So it's like, hey, you know, I'm going to keep my eyes and pray that's for right. the peace of Jerusalem. And so we're talking about, you know, the heart of Nehemiah, and we're just continuing this conversation, just praying the Lord would just speak as we just kind of go through it a little bit to understand, and hopefully it's going to encourage you. And if you missed any part of it, remember you can go to the VFN TV store, get the whole thing, or you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and be able to find, you know, the different segments that we're talking about on there. But it's called The Heart of Nehemiah, Rebuilding the Church in America. And we're talking about Sanballat here. You know, they begin to rebuild, and you know, here you are. Imagine, you know, you're doing what God's called you to do. Everybody's doing their thing now, and it's really great. And you think that, you know, hey, there's no problem. Nothing's going to happen again. And we learned in our last program, yes, it's you're always going to be buffeted against. And the reality, if you look at it, I know one particular man wanted to deliver seafood to from the Gulf Coast. He wanted to deliver it to Tennessee, and when he would ship it there. Fresh seafood, living seafood, that he would find when it got there, it would be dead. The fish would be dead when it got there, and he wanted it that's fresh. And so, but what he discovered was, if he put a predator fish in there with the fish that he wanted to deliver, it would keep the fish alive. Because you can't do it. When there's a predator there, you cannot rest. You have to stay alert. And so the fish would be alive when it showed up. And the truth is, if we didn't have this stuff buffeting against us, and we didn't have, you know, some difficult trials and some things coming in our life, you know, that we wouldn't even live, you know. And this is what I've heard somebody once say, and it's mine as well. I mean, until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything. And it's so sad to see folks like you've never had anything in your life, anything to live for, to die for. And now with the country, with the state that America's in, I mean, who wants to stand up, you know, in the context of that? And it's like, you know what? I'm going to stand up for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is everywhere. And I'm going to stand up and serve the Lord. So you start moving the context of that, but realize that that people's mouths will be set on fire. Their tongue will be set on fire by hell to discourage you and to break your faith. But you're going to move by faith, which means don't just let anybody talk into your ear. Don't let anybody talk into your spouse's ear or your children's ear, or don't sit here and listen to someone who is held captive by the adversary to discourage you from fulfilling the things that God's called you to do. As a matter of fact, find out what God is saying, and what we talk about through VFN Radio and VFN TV across the world. We're wanting to fan into flame that which God has put inside of you. We're wanting to give you a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of what's going on. We're wanting to be able to break those Sanballat words and doubtful words off of you and just fan into flame your faith to say, do it. Do everything that God has called you to do in your heart to do. And that's what our desire. So you get connected to something like VFN Radio, VFN TV, that's just constantly pouring into your spirit and says, you know what? That's right. I can do this. That's right. This is what's happening, but this is what I can do. And so in verse 3, I mean chapter 4, verse 3 in Nehemiah, you know, it continues on when Tobiah, who was side by side with Sanballat, he began to even question more, trying to stir up more doubt. And he says, you know, what are they building? Even foxes climbing up on it can break down these walls of stones. So the different attacks we were talking about earlier was, they talk about you physically, you know, who are you mentally, physically, education-wise or whatever. The second thing that Sanballat talked about is in regards to will this vision even work? You know, doubting the vision, will they rebuild the walls? The third thing is stirring everyone up and saying this is going to lose finances and stuff because they're going to start giving sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they put a time frame. Well, they finish. They can't finish this thing. There's not, look how long they've been doing it. Will they build it in a day? And then finally, will they be able to bring life into these stones? And that's what we talked about in Peter when he's talking about we're living stones being built together. So it doesn't stop because there's a lot of folks that have their mouth surrendered. So somebody who's standing side by side with Sanballat, this is what he says. He starts bringing doubt on the very strength of what you're building, the strength of what God is building. You know, we can take that down. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. Who is Gideon and his 300? Who is that? You know, who is that? Who is, you know, that type of thing? Mm-hmm. And so, but God will, that's what God uses, the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Don't get bought up in that. But he starts talking now about Satan's trying to bring doubt over the strength of the work, the strength of the church, the strength of the stones, the people that are being brought together to be able to accomplish something. But you know that God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. So you're not worried. You're not shocked unless you lied about who you really are. Because we're all need God. Outside of God, outside the grace of God, we cannot do this. But we do have the grace of God and the mercies of God and the forgiveness of God and the hope of God, and that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, his completed, finished work to hold and to trust in, and the Spirit of God to be able to empower us to be able to do it. So yeah, even though that we're weak, even though we're in desperate need of a Savior and forgiveness and grace and mercy, but we got it through Jesus Christ. So yes, we can do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody starts talking about the weakness of what's being done, understand if they lay hands on it, if they lay and we've, I'm telling you, it's from our own personal experiences. You know, we've seen some Miriam type experiences where, you know, Miriam didn't realize that she was laying her hands on what God was doing.
Hands and mouth.
And she began to suffer physically. When you look at Nadab and Abihu, the sons of the priest, they didn't realize they were laying their hands on what God was doing. When you look at Ananias and Sapphira, they were thinking horizontally, but they had vertical consequences because they thought it was Peter, but it was really God. And so when it's really truly God,
mm-hmm.
and God's really called you, there's huge consequences for people putting their hands on it, putting their mouth on it.
That's right.
And so, I mean, it is amazing some things that we've seen. I mean, some of them are so fresh, it's like, oh my goodness. But listen, God gives us the breath in our lungs. God causes our next heartbeat to beat. If we lay our hands on God's, what he's doing, then he can stop our heart from beating. He can stop our lungs from breathing. I mean, he could just like Herod, we could just instantly just fall. And he's the one's holding us up. And I like what some of the Pharisees said. Listen, if this is not of God, it won't last. But if it is of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. Wouldn't that be a terrible predicament to find yourself fighting against God?
Wow.
And
scary.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you wouldn't be the first, but you can look past a trail of history and find out how it worked for all those that tried it.
That's right. And failed.
Doesn't end good.
And that's why you can have compassion over folks like Moses did for his sister, because he realizes this was God. It wasn't him. This is what God is doing, and that she was going to hurt herself by doing what she's doing. And we've warned folks before, it's like, no, don't do this. Don't do this. And it's like, just like that Korah type mindset, that rhythm of, and it's like, there it goes.
Yeah, no fear of God.
No fear of God. And their only hope is to step away from what God is doing. If not, they die.
That's right. Yeah.
And they'd be destroyed. And
they did. Step away.
Step away. Yeah.
And down.
And out. And so, anyway, so, but they lived. And so, and so it's not so if Nehemiah is saying, if you're, you know, ma'am, if God's called you to be a Nehemiah in your generation, or sir, and you have that heart, and you're sometimes really caring about them deeply, if they can't understand this and you're telling them, listen, it's time for you to step away. You're gonna have to step away because, you know, God is speaking to me about you, and it's not gonna be good. If you continue coming against the work of God and what God is doing, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, you're gonna get hurt. And so the best thing, don't think of it as rejection as much as protection. That God is letting you know, say, hey, step away from that because you'll get hurt.
That's right.
You know? And then there's a day that you can come to your senses and just go, you know, what was I doing? God, this is what you're saying. This is what you're doing. I want to join it. And all of a sudden, it happens in the context of your life. And so here he is doubting the strength and the validity of the actual work. Will it even stand? You know, little foxes, that thing could fall in a heartbeat. And the thing about it is what we always say with what we're doing is the fact that, you know, we want just enough government. If God was to back up from it and take his hand off it, it'd fall apart. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. All you want is God. You just want God to do what he wants. So this is their response. Their response is in verse 14, and we'll have it in a moment, because you need to have a response. You don't need to let people just dog you out and speak doubt over those that you're leading and not do anything about it. You got to have a response. Here, all these attacks have come against them. All these doubtful statements are coming against them, and they're just doing what God said. They were broken over the condition. They begin to work on it. You think people would leave you alone, but the reality is, listen, Satan is not going to sit back, because for the kingdom of God to advance, his kingdom has to lose someone. That's the way it works. It doesn't. So he's not going to sit back and just give folks over and free up territories that he has dominion over in those particular areas. And so what is the response back with all this doubtful stuff? And this is what they say. They go, they realize that if we're going to do this, we're going to have continual prayer going up to God. We're going to have a constant prayer community that we're consistently praying over the things that are going to happen on this journey. You think about IHOP, Kansas City, and you think about other communities of prayer, Pensacola House of Prayer down in Pensacola. You think about Prayer Mountain in Korea. And you think about, for about five years now. You know, making sure at least one day of the week that we'd pray for 24 hours and we're seeing God answer. These things come up. I mean, these things happen. And so what they did was they prayed. They started talking to God about it. Now, if you start talking to them about what they're doing, they're wanting to get you into the fray. They're wanting to get you into the argument. They're wanting to, the reason why they're provoking you, because they're wanting you to come in the arena and start fighting with them. You were in the will of God. You're moving in the plan of God. You have the call of God on your life. You're doing what God's called you to do. God is providing, protecting you, giving you the authority, giving you the plan. You don't need to go talk to them. It doesn't matter what they say. And we're going to talk about Ono meetings coming up in the future on this, but there's going to be a lot of, so they're trying to get you fighting with them. Just say something. And then at that point, they're going to take you further in it. Eve found this out when she began to dialogue with the devil, but they talked to God instead. And Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4, they start talking to God. They said, "Hear us, our God." Think about it. They're talking to God. "Hear us." In other words, "Hear our prayers, for we are despised." They didn't try to put on some false sense of value. They did not. This is our reality. I mean, you talk to God. Say, you know, they're bombarding us, God, and they're hurting the people that you've called that said yes to what you said, and their kids are being hurt, their marriages are being hurt, they're being hurt, and these type of things are going on, and they're trying to lead them astray, they're trying to snatch them out and take them captive into their prisons and all that kind of stuff. And so they're crying out to God. And now, we wouldn't pray this compensatory type prayer in the context here, because we're going to be like Stephen and say, and like Jesus, say, "Hold not this sin against them," because we understand that though they're bringing doubt on us today, we could be bringing them in the kingdom tomorrow. And if you start hating haters, you've joined the haters. You know what I'm saying? And so you can't, we're not going to pray. And this is what their prayer was, you know, turn their insults back on their heads, give them over to the plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt. Blot out their sins. Do not blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of these builders. But you can pray this: "Dear God, stop these voices against your people that are trying to sow doubt into their heart and to lead them astray. Dear God, protect your people." And then pray that God would actually save these folks. You know, demolish every high place and every vain imagination, every scheme of the devil over them in Jesus' name, and pray that God would open the eyes of their heart that they could see and know the glorious grace God has called them to, and ask, you know, "God, confirm your word with signs and wonders, the power and the kingdom of God." So all of a sudden, somebody who was following Lucifer yesterday is following Jesus today. All of a sudden, a Saul yesterday, who's on his road to Damascus to persecute the church, becomes a Paul today because you begin to pray for him and God met him with the brightness of his glory. And suddenly, as hard as he's working for, his perception of God was, which really was the devil, he turned his heart towards Jesus and began to serve him the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that's our perspective, because Paul was one of these Sanballats coming against the church. I mean, he was persecuting the church. He was seeing the church would be killed and imprisoned and doing this work against him. If you miss this, you're not going to pray for Saul, mm-mm, not realizing there's a Paul in his heart. There's a Paul in his future.
Don't give up.
And so our help will come from the hordes of hell, the captives of hell. And even the very ones whose mouth are being used around you, like Peter's mouth was being used against Jesus, Jesus knew that he was going to be one that discerned that he is the Son of God, and that Jesus knew that he was the one that would walk on the water, and Jesus knew that he would be the one, when he returned back from being filtered by Lucifer, that he would come running and preach the first most awesome message that brought in thousands of people in the kingdom of God. And so that's where the enemy loves to really mess things up. And so this paradigm you have to understand now here, you cannot hate a hater. You cannot unforgive an unforgiving person. You cannot be bitter over the situation. You got to become better. It's this point right here. You can't miss this. Your prayer cannot be a compensatory prayer where you're saying, they did this to me, do it to them. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the prayers like, break their teeth out. Some of the things that Paul or David would say. And that what we say is, because now Jesus, because we're all sinners, all of our righteousness is filthy rags, then we have no place and no standing to bring judgment. Who are we to judge another man's servant? Mm-hmm. But what we can do is pray protection for God's folks, protection for those who are laboring in his kingdom, protection for the flock, for the brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we can also pray for the one being held captive by Lucifer to do his will, that he be set free or she be set free and be saved and no longer a prisoner of Lucifer, because whoever we obey, that's who we're a slave to, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Romans chapter 8. And so all of a sudden they become a slave to the love and the mercy of God, and they lay down their life like Paul did. An amazing thing. So this is a very important point here, because if you respond back with hate, and all of a sudden now your messages from your podium and your message from your pulpit, or your message in your little circle and your group and your friends in the coffee shop and your, you know, whoever other believers you hang out with, becomes bitter and hateful and resentful, and you're just lingering on with all this cynicism, you know, and the truth is, you're hating a hater, and you messed up. You should have been praying for their deliverance and give them room for repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some things the Lord has shown me. There's some big time Sanballats that if they listen to God, I mean, God's going to bring them to a place of repentance. And so you can leave room for them. Don't put them in a box that they don't have room to repent. We need room to repent. Everybody needs room to repent, and God allows that to take place. And so I want to encourage you, the prayers wouldn't be compensatory. They would be, you know, for protection and praying that the person would be saved. And so he's talking, so he goes on to verse 6. He says, so we rebuilt the walls till all of us reached about half the height. So they got halfway done in the work. Halfway done in the work. And so they're working. In the midst of all this calamity, they did not retaliate. They just turned to God and let God be the one to judge that. And says, so we rebuilt the walls. So they reached about half the height, and for the people worked with all of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wondering how come the walls are not half the height in what you're doing, what God's called you to do, the question is, have you been working it with all your heart? Is all your heart in it? And it's amazing how long folks can hang around with about 1/10 of their heart, and all of a sudden you find out 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, their heart wasn't really even in it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, oh, I thought you were really
right.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll build today.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. You know, I just want to let you know that my heart is totally in this now. It's like, it's been 25 years. Where was your heart for the last 25 years? You know.
Right.
And then, thank you, God. Thank you that the hearts are in it. And so they go on, and so all of a sudden more things begin to happen, and we're not going to go into this in the future segment, but understand this, that they turned to God. They did not turn against their enemies. They prayed that God would respond towards their enemies in one way, but now because of Jesus Christ, we pray that our enemies would be saved. We bless those who curse us. We pray for those who despitefully use us, And we do more than just running after things and stuff. We realize if we just run after God, God will take care of our needs. And they did. They turned to God. And having and being a part of a prayer community, because if you're going to do a work for God, you can't just pray 15 minutes a month.
Mm-mm.
And every now and then, you're going to have to continue to have a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you're going to have to abide with the one who called you. Because the tendency of our human nature is you start thinking you figured it out, and you left God. That if you abide with him continually, then he'll lead you, he'll direct you, he'll say this stone next, that stone here, this gate here, the hinges down, don't retaliate with hate, love them, pray for them, and you can do that. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. Jesus said in John 15 that apart from abiding in him, you can build nothing. You cannot do this, Nehemiah, if you try to do it in your own strength, because you don't have any. Remember, you're feeble. But Jesus has all kinds of strength and ability. He says, but with him, when we abide with him, we will be fruitful. We will rebuild the walls. We will rebuild the church. The gates will go up. The hinges will go on. And things will be better than they were before. But you do this with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, which you can have. And we have a plan for you at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord, and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to vfntv.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.